Some hungers don't start in your stomach. They start in your chest, in your jaw, in your fist, in that tight place behind your ribs that stays clenched, even when everything looks fine on paper. I'm not talking about food. I'm talking about ache, about that pulse of wanting for attention, for validation, for control, for relief, for power. It shows up fast, sneaky, strong, and if you're not careful, you'll feed it without ever asking what it's really craving. We live in a world that says, if you're hungry, feed it. Swipe, scroll, buy it, text them, say it, even if it's not true. Post it, even if it's not wise. Take the bite, even if it costs you. But what if hunger isn't always a signal to eat? What if it's a signal to listen? What if your ache is your guide, and feeding it too soon only delays the real fullness it was trying to lead you to? This isn't about shame. This isn't a sermon. No scriptures, no judgment. Just a warning. Because I've been in the room when someone took the bite. And I've been the one left to clean up the pieces. And I can tell you, hunger, it doesn't care what it costs you. It just wants to feed. This episode is about that trap. The one that looks like satisfaction. Feels like a win until the high wears off and the cost shows up. And it's heavier than you expected. My name's Ron Eastman. This is I Drink My Coffee Black and My Whiskey Neat, where we don't shout, we pour. And tonight, we're pouring restraint. The kind that doesn't feel holy, but might just save your future. I've seen it more times than I can count. Late nights, hotels, after parties, people with everything, still starving. I've stood 5 feet away while someone tried to fill a void with a phone call they knew they regret. A message they sent just to hear something ding back. Not love, not connection, just recognition. That fast hit of, I still taste you. Why are we pretending? You know where I am. It feels like truth, but it's not. It's ache wearing perfume. Hunger dressed like love, a spark that'll burn everything if you don't put it out first. And it's not always dramatic. Sometimes it barely makes a sound, but it's always a fire starter. A glance, a late reply, a button undone, a joke phrased like a dare. I've watched it happen in boardrooms, on red carpets, in back seats with tinted windows, people chasing relief, and calling it love. And the worst part? You can watch someone give themselves away in tiny pieces, and they won't even know it until the next morning. Because craving doesn't care about your values. It doesn't care about your promises. It just wants to be fed. I've had to walk people out of rooms they weren't ready to leave. Had to answer calls from spouses who sensed something, but couldn't name it. I've sat with grown men and women who couldn't explain why they did what they did, only that they needed help getting out of it. And what I've learned? Hunger doesn't always look desperate. Sometimes it looks polished, successful, clean. But underneath, it's starving. And it'll grab whatever's in reach just to silence the growl. Desire is real. I know this firsthand. The feeling of being desired, it's toxic and enchanting. It'll make you question what you know is true. It'll make you put parts of yourself up for sale just to feel that pull again. That's the truth most people never say out loud. Feeling empty is dangerous. Because when you're hungry and you don't know what you're lacking, you'll settle for anything that fills you. And the more you feed that craving with things that were never meant to satisfy it, it grows. It builds a tolerance. Until you've trained yourself to survive on junk and call it a connection. That's the trap I want to name. Not to shame anyone, but to tell the truth. You can't heal if you're still calling the poison a treat. Some of us are reaching for the wrong thing. Not because we're weak, but because we're tired, lonely, running on empty, craving something that doesn't just live in a screen, or a comment, or a stranger's hands. What we're really craving is peace, worth, belonging. To feel safe, not just in a room, but in someone's eyes. To be chosen, without having to perform for it. To rest, without earning it. To be touched, in a way that doesn't take, but reminds you you're still here. And you don't get that from someone who's just as hungry as you are. One of the hardest things to admit is that you're not as in control as you think you are. Temptation doesn't come screaming. It arrives dressed for the occasion, wearing whatever you're most likely to trust. It shows up in a suit, in a smile, in a DM, in a moment when you're tired and haven't eaten all day, but somehow think you can make good decisions in that state. And here's what it says. Just this once. You've earned this. What's wrong with wanting more? You've worked so hard to get here. It plays you, makes it sound safe, manages you, like a handler, not a friend. You believe it and tell yourself, I know where the line is. I'm just standing near it, not crossing it. I can handle the edge. But the edge doesn't care how strong you think you are. And temptation, it never plays fair. I've watched people. Smart people, strong people, lose themselves in a series of just one-time decisions. Not because they were bad, but because they were hungry. And convinced themselves that they were still in control while feeding something that was quietly taking over. It's the red button effect. Tell someone not to touch it, and suddenly, it's the only thing they can see. They don't even want what's beyond the button. They just want to know what will happen if they press it. They don't want the connection. They don't want the truth. They want the thrill, the control, to know what happens if they press the button just once. That's the kind of hunger we're talking about. Not always logical, not always about satisfaction. Sometimes it's just about curiosity, power, impulse. Sometimes we don't even want what we're reaching for. We just don't want to feel empty anymore. But the thing no one tells you about temptation is that it's rarely about the thing itself. It's about what it cost. And that cost doesn't show up right away. It shows up when the person who trusted you starts to pull away. It shows up in your sleep, in the way your body gets louder when your soul feels off. It shows up in your relationships with yourself, in the way you start ignoring your truth or justifying things you never used to tolerate. You don't lose yourself all at once. You lose yourself in small, private bites. The ones no one sees. The ones that don't make headlines. The ones you convince yourself don't really matter. But they do. Because every bite you take, without asking what it's actually feeding, moves you further from who you're trying to become. That's why discipline isn't punishment. It's protection. It's saying, I know what I want, but also know what I won't pay for it. And that line, that refusal, that's what keeps you whole. Sometimes the hardest temptation isn't the one that shows up in private. It's the one that shows up in public, with a crowd cheering you on. People don't always say it out loud, but the message is clear. Why are you waiting? You're still clinging to integrity? Everybody's eating. You should eat too. It doesn't shout. It nudges. And if you're already starving, it doesn't have to push hard. Hunger's real. But not everything offered to you is a meal. I've been in rooms where the expectation wasn't whispered. It was built in. High-level people. Money moving fast. Deals made over drinks, over jokes, over sideways conversations that didn't feel quite right. But everyone was laughing, so no one stopped it. That's the world we live in sometimes. Where silence becomes consent. Where being cool means not speaking up. Where restraint is called weakness. And calling something out makes you the problem. It's in those moments where walking away doesn't just feel hard, it feels like social suicide. You walk out of that room, and you're not just leaving the fruit behind, you're leaving opportunity, money, status, access. But what I've learned the hard way is this. Access without alignment is a setup. If you have to lose yourself to keep your seat at the table, that table was never yours. And the quietest part? Sometimes when you walk away, they don't even get mad. They just watch you. Because deep down, most people are starving for someone to show them that hunger doesn't have to win. That you can want something badly and still say no. That you can be respected not for how much you consume, but for how much you can carry without folding. People act like discipline is boring, but I found there's nothing more magnetic than someone who doesn't need what everyone else is begging for. Because that kind of strength, that kind of restraint, it doesn't come from ego. It comes from clarity. The kind of clarity that says, yes, I'm hungry, but I know what I'm hungry for, and it's not this. Walking away isn't weakness. It's wisdom. It's saying, I don't need to prove that I can handle the fire by standing in it longer than I should. And maybe, if more of us started listening to our hunger instead of silencing it with shortcuts, we'd stop chasing what looks good and start waiting for what's real. So what do you do when the hunger comes back? Not once, not twice, but again and again, in different shapes, with new names, smelling even better. You do the hardest thing of all. You hold. You sit in the discomfort. You let the craving come. And instead of feeding it, you ask it what it's trying to say. Because hunger, real hunger, isn't something you fix with fast hands. It's something you honor with slow steps. You want to feel full? Then stop settling for what only fills you halfway. Not every craving is a call to act. Sometimes it's a call to reflect, to pause, to trace the ache back to its root. And when you do, you'll find the hard truth hiding there. That most of the time, what we really want isn't to be loved. It's to be met exactly where we feel empty and filled so completely that we know we are adored. To believe the world has become irrelevant and that one person only sees you. To be perceived in a way that makes your pulse remember how magnificent you are. And for that desperately needed moment, you feel safe, settled, healed, whole. And those things, they don't come from the first thing that answers. They come from the one that knows how to wait with you. So yeah, you're going to get hungry for attention, for validation, for touch, for peace, and the world's going to offer you 1,000 cheap ways to quiet it. But here's what I want you to remember. You're not broken for feeling hunger, but you might break yourself if you feed it with what was never meant to last. Maybe we're not broken. Maybe we're just starving and mistaking every shiny thing for a meal. Maybe we stay unsatisfied because we keep feeding the hunger with whatever reaches back first. But if we let the ache speak, if we follow it, listen to it, stop silencing it with substitutes, maybe then we don't just feel full, we become whole. If you want clarity, if you want peace, then learn to walk away still hungry, still aching, still craving, but undefeated. Because every time you don't take the bait, every time you let the moment pass, without reaching for the thing you know won't hold, you reclaim something. Your time. Your truth. Your future. And eventually, you'll realize you're no longer starving. Your fridge is just empty, but now it has room for what's real. Because that's what fullness really is. Not having your fridge stuffed with fast food, but carefully filling it with what actually nourishes you. And before you know it, the craving quiets, the ache softens, and what's left is peace. So tonight, if you're hungry, don't eat. Wait. Listen. Choose. Let the ache speak. Let it stretch you. Let it build something stronger in you than impulse ever could. You're not meant to live starving, but you're also not meant to settle for crumbs that keep you quiet and call it satisfaction. You deserve to be full, but but only if you can first learn the strength it takes to stay hungry. This is I Drink My Coffee Black and My Whiskey Neat, where we don't shout, we pour. And tonight, we poured what most people feed before they ever understand. Not to quiet the hunger, but to show it what peace tastes like.